Welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Gals Podcast. Sharon Vornholt is your host and the creator of the Louisville Gals Real Estate Blog, where you will learn how to become a savvy real estate investor, make money, build streams of passive income, and create a lifestyle and a business you love. Whether you're a seasoned real estate investor or just getting started, this show is for you. Now, let's talk real estate investing.
This is Sharon Vornholt with the Louisville Gals Real Estate Blog, here today with another episode of Let's Talk Real Estate Investing. My guest today is David Corbally. David is a real estate investor that is probably best known as a marketing expert. That's certainly the way I know him. And since one of my favorite topics is marketing, I'm really excited to have him on the show today. Thanks for coming on today, David.
Sharon, thanks for having me. I really appreciate being here.
Well,
I love marketing too.
Yeah, I know you like marketing, and I love marketing. And that is, if they don't learn how to market, they're just out of business before they get started. So today's topic, what I'd like to hone in on is how to consistently get deals. But let's start out by having you tell everyone a little bit about yourself and your business.
Sure thing. I'll try to make it as brief as possible because it can get long and boring. I've had quite a history, you know, throughout my life and done a lot of different things. And I think a lot of people are probably in that same space, especially if now you're into real estate. We think a little differently and we want to work for ourselves. And sometimes we don't figure that out until later in life. And so I joined the military right out of high school and spent 10 years in the Army and ended up in the Army Special Forces. So I was a Green Beret for part of those 10 years. Fantastic, challenging career profession. I loved it. But something happened at the 10-year mark. I didn't want to do another 10 years because I saw my buddies, you know, getting out when they were 38 and 40 years old and, quote, retiring, and it wasn't retiring at all. They had to go out and start from scratch and coming from special operations, your resume doesn't really fit the outside world too well. So it's can be difficult to find good employment. So I decided to get out at 10 years, and people are like, well, what are you doing? And I loved what I did. I just saw the writing on the wall. So I got out, jack of trades for a couple of years, and then I applied to the Seattle Fire Department, got hired there as a professional firefighter, and I spent about 7.5 years there. And I'll back up here in a second. Spent about 7.5 years there. And I actually left that career in the middle of 2006. Again, what are you doing? You're crazy. This is the best job in the world. I'm like, you know what? You're probably right. And I don't want a job. So during that time, I actually started investing in real estate. I started digging around wondering, you know, what is this feeling I have? I just know that there's something different for me out there to do other than, you know, just doing careers or jobs for other people or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. But I felt there was just something different pulling at me. So I started just digging around, and I ran into a rich dad, poor dad, course that I ended up buying, and I went through this thing, and the light went off. I'm like, oh, I get it now. You know, I need to have my own business, and didn't have a whole lot of money, of course, doing what I did, so I realized it had to be real estate. Then you've heard of this no money down and all this stuff, so I started digging more, and same path, right? A lot of us follow the same path. Well, I ended up connecting with a person on a real estate investing forum back in mid-2001, late 2001, and in early 2002, I did my first lease option deal and got a tenant buyer in there. It was really easy. All of it just kind of flowed really well, and I got a $4,000 down payment. I'm like, wow, you know, wow, this is amazing. And that was my first house. I ended up holding that thing for a couple of years and selling it, and I think making a nice chunk on the backside too. But from there, just like I think all of us do, if you haven't done a deal yet, that's fine. When you start doing them, you'll find that you want to start expanding. And like, okay, well, I do this lease option thing, but not everybody wants to do a lease option with their house. So I got to come up with some more strategies. Started learning about subject to investing, started doing that. And then we started rehabbing some stuff, you know, doing some owner financing, just different stuff. Got into short sales, did a lot of short sales, and we really focused on that market for a number of years. During that time, there's one thing that kept happening, and that one thing was, you know, we get a deal, we being myself and, you know, sometimes my then wife or maybe an assistant. I had an assistant a little bit later on too. But we'd get a deal or work the deal and be so focused on that deal that we wouldn't be thinking about the next deal.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd get paid and then you live, you know, you spend that money, that paycheck living. And next thing you know, oh gosh, we don't have anything in the pipeline. We really don't have anything lined up. So we would have to start, you know, mailing all over again and doing, you know, whatever we did, bandit signs and all that good stuff. And it was kind of a feast famine, this terrible feast famine roller coaster. And I remember going to events and listening to these people speak about their lifestyle and thinking to myself, boy, that's not reflective of what I'm living. I'm on this crazy roller coaster where I'm either rich or poor. So I started looking into what is missing. What are we missing that is keeping us from, you know, getting to this consistent income that we really want? And obviously the end result ended up being, well, it's marketing. We're not doing the right kind or consistent type of marketing. So I started looking into, you know what, I probably went way off track here, but.
No, you're good.
Okay. I was supposed to, you know, tell a little bit about myself, but I'm kind of telling my whole life story and investing and everything, but I'll try to wrap this up so we can go on with questions and stuff. But what happened was I started looking into internet marketing because that was pretty new back then. This was like 04, 05. And I started looking into and learning internet marketing. It took us about a year and a half, 2 years to really get it nailed, but once we did, took off. 2006 was the banner year. That was the breakout year. No looking back after that. That was a seven-figure year. There's no looking back after that. I was like, holy cow, what a difference it can make when you're really focused on something that's going to create a solution. So that was did really, really well in real estate. And then in 2008, you know, market started, well, 07 or so, the market started just crumping and we saw the writing on the wall. I actually started doing marketing for small businesses because I ended up chatting with a computer repair guy one time because we took one of our units over there. And he's like, wow, we're talking about real estate and how we do it. And he was really interested in, you know, customer generation. He's like, well, how do you find these people? And we started chatting. Next thing you know, this guy became my very first, you know, local business client. And we started running his internet marketing campaigns and built the website for him and all kinds of stuff. Well, of course, he services all the businesses in the area, so he starts talking, and before you know it, we're working with dentists and chiropractors and lawyers and everybody else doing all of their online marketing, creating their websites, setting up all their internet advertising, all of that. So we learned a lot about how to market not just a real estate business, but a business, a local business online. And that is the focus now. So I took all of that knowledge, and I brought it back into the real estate space because that's where I'm from. And now that's what we do is, I mean, we have an entire team now and our business is really focused on lead generation for real estate investors and agents. And that's my story.
Well, that's a great story, David. I love what you said about you focused on creating a solution for a problem you had in your business. And that is what everyone tells you to do, but that's not what everyone does.
Right.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think one of the issues is it's our belief system. Because when people say, oh, you know, you send out mail or you do bandit signs or, you know, internet, market on the internet, whatever that topic is that you're supposed to do to get leads, I think our belief system holds us back. And, you know, the thought of, well, I'm going to spend $1,000 to do this direct mailing, then there's that, you know, that little nasty thing in the back of your head. What if I don't get a single call? So we put it off, right? And mm-hmm. The reality is marketing works. If you find a marketing model or even one type of marketing that's proven to work, and if you do it long enough, you're going to figure out how to do it right, and it's going to work. And I don't think we just – I think our belief systems keep us from moving forward and doing what we have to do.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and I'm sure you hear the same thing I do from people that say, gosh, I sent out a mailing 3 months in a row, and I only got this many calls, and that stuff doesn't work. And it's really hard for them to understand that you're going to invest some time and some money on the front end. You're going to invest time if you're doing it yourself. But, you know, it's a cumulative effect. And once the ball starts rolling, then you have momentum. And that's what you need to work toward is momentum.
Exactly. Absolutely. And it is scary at first, and it's challenging, and it creates doubt at first. But you just you can't take your eye off the ball.
No, I agree completely. And your mindset is everything in this business, because there's just nothing about it that isn't fraught with a lot of second guessing. So you talked a little bit about your marketing strategies. Now, what would you say are your top 3 to 5 marketing strategies? Are they still the same?
Yeah, I think for us, the top marketing strategies, number one is going to be online marketing. And the reason for that is because it's been our staple for so long. And it's also more and more people are being trained to go online to search for solutions. And that's what I talk about in a lot of my trainings. You know, when you have an issue, you know, if your dog is sick, or you have, something wrong with your car, or your dishwasher is, you know, making a weird noise, you don't go to your mailbox and start, you know, sifting through your mail to find the reason why your dishwasher is making a weird noise. You go straight to the internet, and you go to Google, and you type in, I have a GE such and such, and it's making a weird noise. And it's going to lead you down the rabbit trail, and pretty soon you're actually going to find some info on that. So we're trained to do that, not only that, but with, you know, restaurants. I'm going to find a local restaurant or a local doctor or whatever it is. We go to the internet. And so more and more we're being trained to do that. So I think not only because it works, but because that is absolutely the future, I believe, of where everybody's going to get their answers for everything. So that's our number one strategy. Number two is actually referrals. And over now, I am not actually in the business of doing real estate anymore. My partner company does that. And I am the marketing business. I'm the marketing side. It's what I love. It's what I do. I did a lot of real estate, and I kind of tired of it because I really started being excited about the marketing. So everything we get, we send over to that side. He does it. He runs it. And he's built a referral business. I think going to end up around 60 deals this year. It was around 80 last year. But it's consistently, you know, between 60 and 100 deals a year. And he's built up such a referral business just over, and that takes time, but it's something just like anything. You start now, and over time, you build relationships. People will bring you the deals over anybody else, even if they might even make a little bit less money with you, because they know you'll get the deal done. They know you're trustworthy, and they know you know what you're doing. So the referral business is by far, you know, the second. And then, of course, direct mail. Direct mail is just a great strategy. It works great if you do it correctly. There's certainly plenty of pitfalls, and we've all hit those from time to time, but direct mail works well, and as long as the post office stays in business, we'll be good. Times change.
Times change, and I think it's so interesting that you were in the internet marketing space when really everybody is really lagging behind you, David. I'm sure you know that. There are people out there that still don't have a website, and I think there are a whole lot. I would venture to say the vast majority of real estate investors don't really know how to effectively use the internet in their real estate investing businesses.
I would agree. And even having a website is no different than having a business card in your wallet. If nobody puts their eyes on that business card or on that website, it's worthless anyway. It's just sitting in your wallet taking up space, or sitting on the internet taking up space. And I think that's what people fail to realize is, well, I got a website for my business. Great. What's it doing for you? Where does it show up when people search, you know, sell my Dallas house fast? You know, is it sitting there at number one or two where they can see it and click on it? And if not, it's wasting space. And there are ways to fix that, but that's what they need to understand is having a website is not the solution. Having a website that people land on and pick up the phone and call the number from the website, that's having a website.
That's a great point there. Once folks have a website, then they have to take the steps to get it ranked, and that's not generally an overnight process. It is a process.
It is a process, and there's different ways to do it, and that there's different things that you can do. And And I'm going to kind of go back to, like, an example. I like to use this example. Think of a guy who owns, you know, a guy or a girl who opens up a sandwich shop, not necessarily like a, you know, Subway or whatever, but just a sandwich shop. And it's in town. There's a little bit of street traffic goes by. And so they open up their sandwich shop. And they get it all ready, and they're all set up, and they're all excited to open up their sandwich shop, and things just going to fill up, and they open the doors, and people are just going to flow in, and they don't really do anything to get ready, right? It's just They think, oh, it's great, I got this location, and my sandwiches are great, but they don't do any marketing, they don't prepare it, they don't put any A boards out on the sidewalk letting people know, and they open their doors, and zero, right? Nobody comes in. Once in a while, they get the trickle of the person walking by and maybe seeing on the window when they're not looking at their phone when they're walking down the street, oh, I'm kind of hungry, there's a sandwich shop. And they're going to end up going out of business. It's because the sandwich shop is there, and they might have great sandwiches, but nobody knows about it. And it's the same thing, right? If we go and get all excited about our real estate business, and gosh, we've got all these resources, and we found our title company, and you know, whatever we need, and we're set to go, and we're going to have a great real estate business. And, you know, you open the doors and nobody knows you exist. That is the main thing, or the flip side of that sandwich person worked on, you know, getting their word out on the internet and putting flyers out and, you know, A-boards out on the sidewalks and telling other local businesses, and just, it's a business, right? And people, they forget to realize that this thing called real estate investing, is a business too. And just like the sandwich shop, you've got to advertise, just like, you know, you're proud of your business. You're proud of what you do. You need to share it with everyone, just like the sandwich shop person will do. They're going to get people in the door, and so will you. So it's the same thing with that. And with a website, it's no different. I mean, you can have a website. The sandwich shop can have a website. But if people don't see it when they search on, you know, I'm in Seattle, so if I search, you know, sandwich shop or Seattle sandwich shop or whatever, and that specific sandwich shop, I don't see it in any results, I'm never going to know it exists. So to answer your question, I know I went around there, but I just wanted to share that analogy. And with a website, there are different ways to get it ranked. Some will take months. Others can take literally hours. And I say do a combination. So we can get into this a little later, but there's different things. There's pay-per-click, there's video marketing, there's local business listings, and then there's SEO, which is, you know, my favorite. That's search engine optimization. It's a long-term strategy, but it's a powerful strategy because over time you can actually win with that. And once you start ranking for different keywords, like sell my Seattle house fast or stop Seattle foreclosure, whatever keywords you're targeting, there's thousands of searches being done a month. People are looking for those solutions, and when you can show up for those, whether it's paid search or SEO or through videos, people will end up seeing your business and your phone number, and that's how you start to get the leads. So it's both a long-term and a short-term process.
Right, right, and that's important, and I think people often think you can stick it up there and it'll just take off by itself, but that's not the case. And your website, like you said, is like a business. You can't be the best kept secret in town. People have to know about you.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about a couple of things here now. Let's talk about inbound marketing versus outbound marketing. Do you think businesses should have a balance of both, or do you lean more way? We've talked about websites a little bit. We've talked about direct mail, and I certainly love direct mail, but is there a particular mix of this that you think, from your experience, works better for folks, or is better or worse, and, you know, are they equal?
Now, inbound versus outbound, are you talking about, say, direct mail versus an internet strategy? Were they finding me, or?
Right. It's things you have to do all the time, like direct mail and bandit signs, as opposed to things, you know, like your website and things that, well, you have to tweak them, but they're basically there working for you.
Right. So for me, I think a combination is great, but not an equal combination. And the reason for that is direct mail works. You know, we know that. It's worked since the beginning of marketing, right, since we started doing direct mail. So it works, and we know that. So it's a proven strategy. you should never stop using a proven strategy, right? I mean, it should always make it part of your overall marketing strategy. However, when we do direct mail, you know, people talk about response rates, and sometimes you hear about great response rates, but I think overall the response rate for direct mail is very, very low, you know, 0.5%, maybe 1% response rate. So that means I can send out, you know, 1,000 letters and maybe get 10 responses, maybe, if I'm lucky. And some people do better, some people do worse. So there's a reason for that. I mean, literally, I'm sending out 1,000 pieces of mail, and I might get 10 responses. And I won't talk about the statistics and how many of those are motivated, even if you get, you know, one deal or whatever out of those 10. All I'm talking about is the response rate. And
right.
The reason for that response rate is because I'm kind of being selfish. I'm doing this on my timing, right? I don't care if the homeowner is ready to sell or not. I'm hitting them with a, hey, I can sell. It's kind of like you go, for me here, I think it's every Wednesday. Might be Tuesday, but I go to open my mailbox, and I walk my dog to open my mailbox in the evening. Every time I do it on that day, I have this thought of, gosh, you know, what a waste of paper. Because it's all of these ads and the, you know, the flyers and the magazines, and here I, you know, my arms are full of this stuff. All I do is take it right back. I wish I had a recycle bin next to the mailbox. Because I have to carry this stuff all the way back to my house, and it goes right in the recycle bin. I pull the pieces of mail out of there that might have gotten slipped in there, and I throw it in the recycle box. Why? Not time. It is not my timing. It's on their timing. And that's the total difference versus, you know, that's outbound marketing, because it's on my timing. I'm thinking, oh, you know, and it's just the sheer matter of numbers. Somebody at the right timing is going to fit, and that's fine. Where the flip side is, inbound marketing, that's on their timing, right? That's the beauty of it, because instead of a 0.5% response rate, you're basically at 100%. These people are looking, and if they see you, they're going to check you out. If they do a search on Sell My Seattle House Fast, and my results, you know, for my website are up there, number one, number two, sometimes number three, they're going to click on it. If it says, you know, sell your Seattle house fast. Fast our offer in, you know, 24 hours or less. We can close quickly. Whatever it says, that's going to bing. It's timing. It's on their timing. They're looking for that specific thing. They see my result about that specific thing. They click on it. They end up on my website that talks about that specific thing, selling your house fast, whatever, whatever. Now it's on their timing. Everything matches up perfectly. And there is a great chance that they're actually going to contact me. Even if it's a 10 or 20% response rate from people ending up on my website after doing a search, compare that to a 0.5% response rate. So long answer, but yeah, I think you should always have a combination, but inbound, absolutely, and it's because it's on their timing, they're ready, and they're looking.
And I think that is a huge shift for most folks that are used to going out there and hammering up bandit signs. Don't you think so?
Absolutely. I mean, who looks at those things when it's for now, you know, people, sad but true, you know, you see all this stuff about, you know, not texting and driving and signing the agreement where you don't text and all that stuff. I see more people now that are looking at their phone going down the freeway than aren't. And that's a scary thing, but it's just a fact. So if they're at the stoplight or the stop sign, you think they're looking around and enjoying the scenery and looking at the birds and the thing? No. They're looking at their phone, trying to catch a glimpse of the Facebook or the next text before the light turns green. So more and more, yeah, the bandit sign thing and all those other things, do they work? Yeah, just like direct mail still, it's about timing and it's sheer numbers. But inbound for me makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, and I think you were really smart to focus on that before the rest of us figured it out. You know,
I got a head start for sure.
You got a head start for sure, and I commend you for that.